Friends, grace and mercy and peace be unto you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Just the first part of the that reading from the book of the Acts of the Apostles in the 10th chapter. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but that in every nation anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." This is God's word. Please be seated. It had been a long, long time since Tyson had actually gotten himself up out of bed on a Sunday morning to go to church. Well, you know, he did go with his family at Christmas and Easter, and whenever he traveled back home again to be with his family, but ever since he had left home to go to college, that was about the extent of it. But this Sunday was different somehow. He was just tired of being alone. He was confused about his life. He was unfulfilled at work and wanting more out of life. He was just empty. He was feeling emptiness. And he thought, well, maybe it's time to try church again. Well, he had grown up as a Lutheran, and Grace Lutheran Church was within walking distance of where he lived, and so he decided he would give it a try. So that Sunday morning came, he got himself up out of bed, he summoned up his courage, and he timed his arrival at church intentionally so that he would be a few minutes late, so that he could slip in the back doors and maybe nobody would notice. And it worked for the most part, except that there was this gray-haired usher handed him a bulletin and welcomed him with a smile. And then Tyson went on into the sanctuary and he sat down in the back in a pew by himself. He heard the last of the pastor's announcements and then was surprised when the pastor said, "We are so pleased that you have made your way here today, because we believe that God led you here and that he wants to give each of you his gifts of grace." And then he said, "Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. We want you to know that God is rich in his love for you no matter who you are, and that Christ died and rose for you." And it was that part about God's riches at Christ's expense that took Tyson back in time, some 20 years back to the days of his confirmation class, when his childhood pastor used to say the same thing. And so with that old memory in his mind, Tyson settled back in the pews for worship. Sisters and brothers in Christ, today we hear about God's grace in a very unique way in the book of the Acts of the Apostles in the 10th chapter, when Peter proclaims, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but that in every nation anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." Now this is Peter, and through some very powerful ministry experiences, Peter is learning that God sees people in a very different way than we see them. He sees them through lenses of love. Now, you might remember in the Gospels, Peter and the disciples were sometimes bothered by the people and annoyed by them, especially when the crowds were thronging around and not letting them alone, and they wanted to send them away. But we read that when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And that kind of says it all, doesn't it? The disciples saw the people and they were annoyed, like we so often are. But Jesus just sees them differently, with perfect love and compassion. No partiality, no favoritism based on external things that we always judge on. But his love reaches out to all because he sees people differently as their creator, who knew our names even before we existed, who predestined us from the foundations of the world unto salvation, to be holy in Christ, and who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Aren't you glad this is for everyone? And I mean everyone. Are you glad? I mean, do you see people as God sees them? Do you compassionately love them as Christ loves them? Does our congregation see and love people in this way? Is our church a place of grace in this cold and lonely world where we are so eager to connect all people to God's love for them in Christ? All people? And yet, what is our experience with people? It's that people around us can be hard to love, and they can be annoying. You've been hurt by people's words and actions, and perhaps even here at church. Close relatives have disappointed you, failed you. At work, maybe you were passed up for a promotion by someone who didn't deserve it as much as you did. Do you see these people as God sees them? Do you love them? A little self-examination and some honesty should cause all of us to see that that we are a little difficult to love too sometimes, as unloving as we sometimes are. If you struggle to see others as God sees them, or to love them as God loves them, join the club. Here's Peter. Peter and many of those earliest church members were Jewish converts to the Christian faith, who still believed that God was partial to the Jews. After all, salvation had come from the Jews. Jesus was Jewish, after all. And it made sense to Peter and John and James that as the children of Abraham and members of the household of Israel, that they were just a little more special in God's sight than everybody else. It was hard for them to accept that God is so lavish in His love that He would pour out His grace in equal measure upon the Gentiles, and that these heathen converts to the Christian faith would have equal status before God and be equally loved by Him. Peter, in particular, had a very difficult time seeing people as God sees them. Until earlier in Acts chapter 10, God gave him this very special vision. It's right before our text. He dropped that sheet out of heaven full of unclean animals. He said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "I can't eat that. Those are unclean animals." And God said to him, "Peter, what God has made clean, do not call unclean." And he did that three times. And God was teaching Peter here that what God makes clean in Jesus Christ, we must not say is somehow less than clean. God sees all of the redeemed in Christ as clean and pure and holy, and we must not say otherwise about them or see them otherwise or treat them otherwise. Well, Peter did learn his lesson. Right before that vision he was given, Peter was told to go to the home of a Gentile centurion named Cornelius, and when Peter learned from Cornelius that the Lord had told him to summon Peter, and that Cornelius even knew Peter's exact location when he was summoned, well, Peter could not deny that the Lord was at work in the life of this Gentile. And so he says, "Now I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears Him and does what is right is acceptable to Him." And then when Cornelius and his household heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God came upon them and they believed the gospel, then Peter was prompted to say, at the end of our reading today, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter was learning some mighty important lessons about how God sees others through the lenses of love. God sees everyone that way. He wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Even though we are unclean, there's no denying that. God sees the sin in me, and clearly he sees the sin in the worst of us. He sees the sin in the best of us. All of us, because there's none of us who is righteous. And that creates problems, not the least of which is the problem of partiality. And the consequences of that sin are immense. In our partiality, it seems like these days we have divided ourselves as a nation into identity groups and racial and ethnic and political tribes who are pitted against each other. At church, even, we might value the opinions of longtime members and friends of ours while we disregard the opinions of the younger and the newer people. We might hang out in the narthex with that little church clique that we always hang with and ignore the guy over there who really needs us and needs someone to talk to. Partiality leads to feelings of superiority in some and inferiority in others, depending which side you're on. And it can lead to the attitude, this is my church, not yours, with the result that no one wants anything to do with us. If this is what Jesus is about, if he shows partiality like that, I don't want him. I don't need him. We need help. We need some divine intervention like Peter received. And God delivers it. He sent his son into this world as the divine partiality buster. He did not play favorites. He crossed boundaries of society to reach out to the forgotten and the despised, bringing hope and for salvation to shepherds and fishermen, to the sinful woman at the well who was living with a man who was not her husband, to a cheating tax collector, adulterers, lepers. He looked at all of them through the lens of love as those who needed rescue. And so great was his love that even though he was sinless, he willingly became the victim of gross injustice and partiality. He was falsely accused, and death by crucifixion was his sentence. And yet it was the Father's plan that this punishment should be heaped upon his own son, his beloved son. Jesus was the Father's promised lamb, upon whom the sins of the world were laid, the righteous for the unrighteous, the impartial for the partial. Your sins were on him. My sins were on him. The sins of all people, of all nationalities, of all races and ages, all kinds of people. He bore the sins of us all without partiality. And he suffered their consequences and he paid their price. But, as Peter said, but God raised him on the third day as the great sign that the Father had accepted his sacrifice for us. The sign that sin is forgiven and that life wins. And now nothing at all could stop these apostles from going out into the world and proclaiming this good news that, as we read in our text, that everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins through his name. Everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins in his name. And so it is in Christ God has corrected our vision. And now we too can see people as God sees them through the lenses of his love. Returning to the story of Tyson's visit to Grace Lutheran Church, the congregation, much like their Lord, to their credit, also did not play favorites. The people there showed no partiality for their longtime friends or church members and for those comfortable relationships they'd been in for decades. But in fact, they intentionally broke company with each other so that they could reach out to Tyson, and they warmly welcomed him. And Tyson got a sense that it was okay. It was okay for him to be here. And he heard of God's riches at Christ's expense for all people. God's riches even for him, the wanderer, the seeker, the sinner that he was. And he could tell that God's love for him in Christ was just beginning to fill that emptiness. And after the service, Tyson was greeted once again by that gray-haired usher who had handed him his bulletin. And this time his wife, that usher's wife, was with him. And he was greeted by the pastor and many others. And so many people came up to him and said, "It's so good for you to be here. Will you come back next Sunday and join us again?" And as Tyson made his way to his car, or to back home again, he was already making up his mind to do just that. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.